Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Adam Wilson, CEO of Ben's Creek. Welcome back, Adam. How's things?
Hey guys, how are you?
Very good, man.
Hey, we're good. I've been nice on a diet. Been on a diet ever since I left America.
Well, you probably put on a few pounds while you were there. They like big portions.
Oh, they do, surely. I tell you.
Those big, that big bucket of Coke you got from Burger King, wasn't it, on the way back from the mine that did it, I think?
That's right. Was it
about seven or eight
Coke,
I saw a few buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken in the back of your car. I'm sure they were nothing to do with it.
Brilliant. So, well, today we saw some great news and obviously the photos of the commencement of rail delivery, which we'll see circa 11,000 tonnes per train. Do you want to talk us through how significant this news is, Adam?
Well, that is, it's huge. It's the sort of last piece of the puzzle. You know, let me start by saying, you know, we had hope that the cars would come a little sooner, but they're here now. The track is in service. And as you correctly say, we shifted out, 11,000 tons have left the site. We expect those cars to come straight back to us. So by the time they've gone to the port, unloaded, come back, they should be back within a couple of weeks. So that's all great news. You know, the only problem we've had since we, you know, started the listing was the delay in the rail cars. You'll also see in the RNS, that delay meant a large buildup of inventory. We've had to put $30 million worth of coal on the ground. So I always want to keep $5 or $6 million of cash in the business at all times. So we ate up a lot of the cash that we had previously. The initial raise was all spent on remediating the wash plant, the railway, the rail loadout, the fast flood rail loadout that you guys have seen pictures of, the putting the underground miner in, buying the highwall miner, all as we have been regularly announcing. And then we had a slightly bigger than planned inventory build up. We've got 30,000 tons of clean coal, about 5,000 plus of run of mine, which turns into clean coal. We're now into double shift production on the highwall miner, and we're starting production on underground mining, which is the heart of OA. So there's a little more inventory that should clear as the cars come, but you will have seen an announcement. We had a working capital line in place for just such an event when we listed, but that was at 15p conversion. And the last thing we wanted to do was to draw on a line that would be converted at 15p when the share price is, you know, has traded 80p, 80, whatever it is today. So in the RNS, we renegotiated the line from 15p to 60p. Now, this is a flexible line. We can pay it back, draw on it when we need it. So we've renegotiated it at 60p. We've drawn some cash down on it so that we remain 5 or 6 million in cash at all times. And hopefully that will ease as we get these rail cars coming in. The inventory will drop and we have the option to repay some of that line as and when we need it.
So congratulations. Anyway, this is sort of the full circle of when we started this story, and we were just dreaming and imagining a number of months ago. October, it seems like a long time ago, but it really isn't, when we had this vision that you were going to fix everything up and then this train was going to choo-choo out of here and pay you a large amount of money. So congratulations that we've got to this stage. It's taken a bit longer than we anticipated, but so do most of these big projects, really, in all honesty. So
well, I think to be fair to the team on the ground, and I've covered them in the RNS, on the bits they could, they've all delivered. We've got the permits were a little delayed, but we've got one highwall miner on two shifts. We've got an underground miner. We've fully remediated the wash plant and it's throwing out coal, and we've fixed up the railway line. This is the first significant slight hurdle in the delay of the rail cars. Is obviously the first time they've been to the site, but they've been here now, and we should have two deliveries quickly. So I think this was slightly out of our control, but for all those investors that thought it would never happen, you know, there are many pictures. They can all see the rail cars. They can see how fast we can load it. So all of my staff really bringing a project on like this, And on top of bringing it on, you know, within the first 6 months, this has been against the backdrop of huge inflationary pressures. All the parts, fuel, everything like that have gone through the roof. So we, if we wanted to do this again today, if we had Benn's Creek today and we needed to remediate it, the rail line alone, I think, would have cost three times the money we spent on it. Just to give you an example, I may have given this in the past, the sleeper, the rail tie that we had to put one in three of, we paid $30 for that piece of wood, that every third one along about 10,000 of them along the 3.5 mile spur, we paid $30 for them. They're now trading at over $100. That gives you an idea how, you know, fortunate we feel we are to have it in service. And now it should just hopefully be a printing press as we produce, you know, more and more coal towards our target of full production around early August. You know, we're going some, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 and upwards tons of production. And you know, now the rail service is in service. We're on the map. We're being used, you know, 2, 3, 4 rail cars a month. And suddenly this is the sort of, is delivering the numbers, Kevin, that I know you've been talking about. And the margins are still strong. The price is still well north of $400 a ton. And so, you know, we're delighted to have been able to have hopefully reward shareholders and continue to reward shareholders, you know, with good performance.
Yeah, I mean, when we were talking back in October, I think High Vol B was $300 a ton.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone up to high of $450, settled back a bit.
But at $300 a ton, it looked like an amazing prospect.
At 400 is even more amazing. So we're exactly. Delighted. And obviously, you know, supplies are difficult. The port itself, the fact the rail cars are were delayed is really a log jam at the port. But we're now on their schedule and I've got enough coal in inventory now each time to demand the rail cars back. And that's what I'm going to try and do. The rail cars have left. We want them to come straight back in 10 days. I've got another load ready to go. I want them to come back in 10 days. If we can keep that cycle, we should get three rail cars a month. You know, I can't give you the sale price as we've discussed that before, but let's take the three at $300. Everybody can work out that 1,100 rail cars, that's in excess of 3 and a bit million. You do three of those a month. That gives you an idea of how much revenue we can bring in, minimum.
Yeah, it all looks very, very good indeed. And as you said, in the RNS, it states that by the end of the summer, which I presume is at the latest, hopefully the end of August, possibly moving into September, we're going to be at full production, which will be 60, 70,000.
May even be a little touch more than that. The beauty here is, whilst we haven't got all of the parts for the second Iowa miner, they're virtually impossible to buy now. In fact, there was a recent transaction of a working Iowa miner that went for in excess of $9.5 million. Wow. So, you know, we have got 80% of the parts already there. You've seen it with your own eyes. I just need to get the few parts. I'm still waiting on that permit on that area. That is very, very near to arriving, should be within the month. So the remediation of the second high wall miner should tie in with getting the permit, and then we're going to work it slowly up to full production. So obviously that is good news.
And really, you know, this extra cash, Adam, really is simply going to be working capital that the company has to use.
Correct, because it has to have.
You're probably going to be running 20 to 30,000 tons of coal, clean coal, on the ground from now on.
Yeah, and if you think that, you know, that would be normal for a coal company, it's inventory and we're sitting on, you know, as I think you see in the RNS, we're sitting on in excess of £5 million plus an inventory pile that we're probably adding to daily, although 11,000 tons are shipped out, but the inventory is worth sort of 12 million plus the 6 million in cash. That's a sort of working capital. You can't be a sort of billion-dollar company and not have that type of working capital facility.
And the other thing you've got to look forward to, of course, is the Marshall Miller report.
The Marshall Miller, I have, they are very, very close to releasing that. I would hope that would be in the next 10 days.
And in terms of that report, though, we'll talk, obviously, when it happens. I mean, the hope is then that this will then give enough resource, elected resource, that this project can basically go on for decades, yes?
Yeah, I mean, if we ever got to, let's say, if we got to 80,000 tons, right, that's a million tons a year. If we were to be able to produce anything in excess of 30 million tons, which I can't prejudge the report, but I would hope that that would be a low figure if that did come out. That gives you 30 years of mining. That, I'm afraid, probably for all of us, 30 years from now, I don't think it'll be me running the project.
I'll be 84, mate. I hope I'm still kicking a bucket.
I'll be too old to be climbing up and down underground mines. And I think
I definitely won't be going under that mine again. I can tell you that for a fact.
I think as well, what you'll see is this is a preliminary report that's coming out. I think the number will be good. But we are starting a drilling program. And when it's drilled, the resource only tends to go up. So whatever number we come out with, you should also see a statement, fairly quickly that we're going to start drilling, which we're organizing at the moment. When you drill more of this, because this is a huge amount of land, 15,000 acres, as you drill it, I would expect the resource to continue to rise. Now, there's no guarantee until you've actually put the core hole down. But, people have been mining in the Appalachian Mountains for years. I haven't heard of many that haven't found the resource where it's supposed to be.
The situation is that a lot of these steel companies must be hurting with paying these huge amounts for these coal assets all over the world, not just you.
They are. What you've seen is that steel prices have risen strongly and the demand for steel has slightly had a seismic change. You're getting all of this. We touched on this when we started. There's a certain amount of steel required in all of this green in green energy. So to build a windmill, to build a, we talked about that at the listing. I can actually, I think, and this you've caught me. Should have given me some more. Here we go. I can give you some numbers actually on how much steel to make all this stuff. And so this is demand that's, here we go. So for each megawatt of solar power, you need 45 tons of steel.
Wow.
For each megawatt of wind power, you need 180 tons of steel. So you've got demand for there's 900 kgs of steel used in every one electric car. And steel is required for vehicle weight reduction, recyclability, and all those other good environmental things. So that's something we talked about when we did the listing. Since then, of course, you're seeing a huge amount of government spend. So we talked about the infrastructure bills. Since we listed, Biden has passed his infrastructure bill. So this is government spend, not individuals who have financial constraints. And then, of course, the biggest shock to the system was the war in Ukraine. Now, not only did you take out one of the largest steel mills in Europe, which was basically flattened now, where which was in the Russian region. Yeah, that's right. On top of that, you've seen all of these countries that were previously not paying their NATO quota of GDP towards defense. Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland, Moldavia, all these countries. Japan, Germany, were not paying the 2% requirement under NATO on their defense budgets. They are now spending 5%. If you look at Lithuania, Estonia, especially the Baltic regions, Japan as well, Germany. So all of that is on defense spending. And of course, what's the biggest component of defense spending? It's steel. These tanks, they're not made of plastic, they're not made of wood. And so you're seeing huge government demand from multinationals, and that is not elastic to customer incomes. That's government spend, And so that's relatively price inelastic. And of course, you know, they're rushing these things through. So we're seeing all of these factors which make me feel that you might see some movement in the met coal price, but I do not see a return to the sort of, you know, lower prices of 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, I know the price for sure isn't going to, but you're like a shiny new penny, no debt. You're going to have a resource base, as you say. We don't know exactly what that's going to be. And you're going to be producing 1 million tons a year or thereabouts. So compared to the traditional coal companies that are out there who have lots of debt, normally they have, in a lot of cases, worker problems, as in the unions, et cetera, or they're in far-flung places rather than being in the US. So you've got everything going for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's really that legacy issue is a really strong point and very well made. And of course, all of our infrastructure is brand new or has remediated anyway. So our rail line, you know, I don't know of any other rail line in West Virginia that was being remediated at the same time we have. So ours is probably in the best condition. Our wash plant basically had a full refit. So that is, you know, most of those wash plants that are stuck together and they're struggling for capital. Ours should be much more efficient. Our rail loadout, which you can access on our website, you can see how fast that can load a rail car. So they're much preferred to send the rail cars to us, who we can load them with a fast flood system. A normal mine might use them using loaders, where they go up onto a ridge and the loader tips it in the rail car. It's just not comparable to how fast the fast flood rail loadout is. And again, you can see that on our website, just how quick that is. Again, so that makes it more advantageous for NS to send.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I took away more from anything from visiting Benns Creek was the personnel that you've got. You know, the guy Larkin, he knows the place like the back of his hand. He knows all of these different things that are required. And also,
Badot is particularly skillful because he has ran 30 wash plants in the past. So the ability to increase that yield, we haven't finished with our wash plant. It's working, it's producing. The next phase two, is to increase the yield. So if we can go from 50, 60, 70% recovery, you're just all the time adding profit to the bottom line.
Yeah, and he knows what he's talking about, and it was quite obvious from speaking to him that, you know,
he's already our yield's already now trading above 50%. On all of the podcasts that I've given you, we've used a 50% recovery rate. The higher we can get that recovery, and then we can come on to blending. The higher we get the recovery, the less raw coal required to make a clean ton. All goes to the bottom line. And the second thing that we have yet to start, and investors can look forward to, is the blending in of the high vol A coal, which means we can have a lower.
That'll come from the underground mine, will it?
That's coming from the underground mine, which you both, were able to witness. That is bringing a high vol A coal out. Now, we're not selling a separate product, but it means any coal that didn't meet the high vol B spec, if you blend it with high vol A, you're making more of the single product. We're very much into a single product, single quality, homogenous quality, but having a better quality product with a higher price, high vol A. If you think about it, any substandard coal can now be sold at the high vol B price.
One thing that a lot of investors mentioned from the video of the loadout, you know, filling the cars, was the fast flood system, as you mentioned, was the fact that how varied in size the coal was, the wash coal was. And obviously that was down to, as you say, it's all different size rocks, right, that are finally mixed together.
Yeah, I mean, we crush them all, hopefully, to a decent-ish size. Everything is done to spec. Yeah. So everything, so that rail car that you all saw, that is tested. So they went into each and every car, tested it, it all passed, and now it's gone. So the skill here is to try and make the product that the customer wants, not to over-deliver a product that, you know, you're producing a better product than he actually is paying for. So, you know, it allows us to take less quality coal and add it to the higher quality stuff to deliver each and every time a homogenous product. So you're getting the most bang for your buck. And that's where the blending is key. The ability to blend in lesser quality stuff so that you're making the same. It's all about margin, margin and turnover. Margin and turnover. We're not here to be the biggest producer. We want to be the most profitable. And I think that we probably are right up there because of the recent investment, because of the system that we've got there, a lot of which you've seen on the videos, and you guys have been and worked there. You know, we're only using high wall miners above ground. So most of the production, that's the latest technique. These things are virtually impossible to get hold of now. You know, we've secured two of them. That I think is fantastic for the company. We're adding only a relatively small amount on the high vol A underground, but it is high quality. We've got one of the better rail loadouts. Everybody can see that. You guys saw all the fleet there. It's all latest Cat and Komatsu fleet. We're very, very lucky to have all that capital intensive infrastructure, if you like, and mobile equipment at the site.
Yeah.
And again, you guys visited it. You saw how remote it was. Certainly not easy to get that there again. It's about people. It's about equipment, experience, as well as the capital. So it's not just the capital. You need all three things. And we're very lucky as a company to have the right people with the right experience, to have the right equipment, and to have the capital as well. It's I feel a bit blessed, and I think the company will do very well from here.
Forward to September, to hopefully be achieving $200 million. Profit.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys keep on following us. And again, we can't have everyone pining out at the same time, but my offer remains open to any of our shareholders that are in America. Please come and visit it. There's no secrets there. Thank you for the interest that you've shown and your investors. And I hope we continue to reward them.
It's been a pleasure as always, Adam. Thanks very much for your
time. All right. Thanks, guys. Happy Jubilee Adam. Celebrations.
Indeed. God save
Kevin,
the
keep
queen.
Off the chicken.
It's too late.
Bye-bye.
I know.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.